podcast platform and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking, in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Arizona, it's sentencing day for the so-called doomsday mother, Lori Daybell. She's already in prison for the murders of her children and her fifth husband's wife in Idaho.
Before the Arizona judge gave Lori Daybell two more life sentences on top of the life terms she already has in Idaho, she told the judge all of the victims that she's been convicted of killing in both states are happy and enjoying the afterlife.
Heaven is a very busy and happy place, where everyone is engaged in projects that they love to do.
The judge saying she will never get out of prison.
It will take an act of God for you to go free.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
2 days of meetings concluded between the Justice Department and Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. She's serving 20 years for sex trafficking. Heat alerts stretching from the southeast to New England today, along with stifling humidity, and water rescues underway in Kansas City, Missouri, after flash flooding. This is ABC News. The Federal Communications Commission clearing the sale of CBS and other assets owned by Paramount. A firm called Skydance will buy the controlling shares held by Sherry Redstone. Paramount just settled a lawsuit recently filed by President Trump alleging that editing of a 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris caused him mental anguish.
The FCC voted 2-1 to approve the deal. Democratic Commissioner Ana Gomez dissented, saying Paramount was only able to get approval after, quote, months of cowardly capitulation. The company's new owners, led by 42-year-old David Ellison and his billionaire father, Larry, pledged to install an ombudsman at CBS News and ensure its reporting is fair, unbiased, and fact-based. They also say they'll prohibit any DEI policies at the newly merged company. The Ellisons have grown close to President Trump. Oracle founder Larry Ellison has made multiple visits to the White House.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Lord of the Dance, Riverdance performer and choreographer Michael Flatley says he has plans to run for president in Ireland this fall. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With Progressive, you can reach customer service in the way that's easiest for you, by phone, app, or online. We know it would be great if we just magically appeared, but that's more of a genie thing, and we do insurance. But with us, you'd be like, well, it wasn't a genie, but it was great customer service, so that's nice. And sure, you probably would still like the whole three wishes thing, so if you meet a genie, you should definitely ask. But when you need us, contact Progressive by phone, app, or online. Just no genies. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Tony Evers won't run for a third term as Wisconsin's governor.
Evers dropping the news in a video posted to his social media accounts.
For five decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had.
The 73-year-old waited until work on a state budget was completed before announcing his decision. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There could be a crowded field of Democrats hoping to succeed Governor Evers.
Attorney General Josh Call, former Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski have all been mentioned as political candidates or indicated an interest in running. Two Republicans are already running for governor, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and corporate CEO and former Navy SEAL Bill Berrien. Other Republicans could also enter the race. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A group of juveniles arrested following an altercation on the UW-Madison campus.
UW-Madison police responded Wednesday night to a report of a disturbance involving 7 to 10 people at Memorial Union Terrace. An investigation revealed the incident stemmed from an earlier incident involving two groups. Police said one suspect used pepper spray on members of the other group and at least one punch was thrown. One person was cited for disorderly conduct, underage alcohol consumption, and assaultive behavior. Police are continuing to investigate and are looking for more suspects. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s, shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 82 right now.
Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you join us once again for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have a ton to get to here on today's AOA. Coming up here later in the show, we're going to get an update on a Obama-era semi-truck speed limiter rule that has been thrown out by the Trump administration. Louis Pugh, the executive vice president for OIDA, the owner-operator Independent Drivers Association, will join us to tell us more. In segment three, we're going to discuss the pace of farm bankruptcies in 2025. New research out from Dr. Ryan Loy, extension economist at the University of Arkansas. Before all that, in segment two, we're going to discuss a potential mega merger in the rail industry between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern with Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition. So a lot to get to. Helping us get things started, let's jump right in here today on AOA. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. Congressman, it's good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jesse. Boy, you just ran through a bunch of big headlines for the day. I mean, that rail merger would be massive, and then the speed limiter rule getting thrown out, that's great news.
Yeah, I feel like everywhere I turn, Congressman, there is so much going on right now that has impacts on agriculture and on rural America. And a big one that I know you are proud of, and I think this was much needed, is the Digital Asset Market Clarity Act, known as the Clarity Act. Tell us a little bit more about this and why this was much needed.
Yeah, you don't normally think of the Agriculture Committee or farm state members when you think about cryptocurrency, things like Bitcoin, but it's jurisdictional to the Ag Committee because ultimately these digital assets like Bitcoin are commodities. I mean, they're not securities. It's not like you're buying a stake in a business. You're buying a commodity like if it was a barrel of oil or gold or a bushel of corn. And so we've got jurisdiction over the Commodities Future Trading Commission, which has jurisdiction over things like Bitcoin. And I'm the author of a bill with some of my colleagues that would have some basic common sense rules of the road. And there are actually a lot of agricultural aspects that get touched by this. The rest of the developed world's figured this out, Jesse. unfortunately, we haven't. We have had a lot of unpredictability. These innovators, these investors that are building the blockchains, that the technologies that can be used on the back end with a lot of ag-based businesses have been a little nervous about doing their development in America because we didn't have rules of the road, and our bill puts those rules of the road in place.
And it's just the way that things have changed. You mentioned it. There's a lot of pieces that this touches in agriculture. I just think about how, you know, we've gone away from the trading pits in Chicago, for instance. You know, there's so much of this that everything is changing to digital assets, digital currencies, and more. And to your point, we've been a little behind the game on this.
Yeah, and this is not about using Bitcoin to buy gum. When people hear blockchain or cryptocurrency, they think about a payment mechanism, and that's really not it. But, you know, blockchain is a technology that can be used to unlock a lot of additional functionality. So you think about how every industry has been revolutionized in the last 30 years by the internet. And 30 years ago, that was a little hard to imagine. I mean, you just think, well, gosh, what's a rancher really going to need the internet for? Well, the answer is now just about everything, right? I mean, ordering feed, paying his bills, you know, maybe bidding on bulls and four states away while he's sitting in his jammies because he came down with a cold and didn't want to make the trip, right? I mean, in the same way, blockchain is going to change everything. It's a little hard to understand exactly how. But I got to tell you, over the next 10 years, because of my bill, America will again be the lead innovator and investor in these blockchain technologies. We're going to lead the Web3 revolution in the same way we led the Web2 revolution.
We're going to be watching this as all of this develops and unfolds as we move forward. Congressman, I know we're getting into the August recess, but when you return to D.C., the remainder of the farm bill is going to be a key topic, I'm sure. What is left for the farm bill? What is your feeling on getting the rest of this across the finish line, the pieces that couldn't go through in the reconciliation process?
I'm a little bullish. I know people are sounding a little pessimistic that we can get this done. And admittedly, my Democratic colleagues are big mad that the reconciliation, as it always is, was a one-party solution. And they did not like some of the changes that we made to the SNAP programs. Of course, as you know, over the years, SNAP had grown and grown and grown and had become 85 or 90% of the farm bill. That really threatened the longstanding urban-rural coalition that was necessary to get the farm bill done. And so what were we able to do in reconciliation? We were able to take care of crop insurance, take care of the Title I programs, and then put in some additional requirements, work requirements for able-bodied folks on food stamps. And I think those were all good changes, and they were all necessary. So really, the entirety, those are the big spenders, but there's a lot left in the farm bill that we need to do. I just think all the rural development programs that so many of our rural communities rely on. And the reason I'm bullish is even though the Democrats are angry now, a lot of the Dems on the Ag Committee really are pretty reasonable members. And they know that reauthorizing those rural development programs are good for rural communities. I don't think they're going to be inclined to punish rural communities because Republicans used reconciliation as a one-party tool the same way the Democrats used reconciliation as a one-party tool to put into place Obamacare or the Inflation Reduction Act or the American Rescue Plan. And so I think cooler heads are going to prevail. The August recess is probably going to be good in that way. Everybody's still going to be working 15, 16-hour days, but they're going to be doing it with people they like. Like other politicians. So getting us back in the fall, Jesse, I think we're going to be well primed to make progress on a farm bill.
You mentioned, you know, some of those rural programs too, real quick. It was confirmed Thursday, the reorganization plans for USDA. That's been widely talked about for several months, and we're getting confirmation of that now. Your thoughts on some of that reorganization of parts of USDA out of D.C. to regional hubs and more across the country?
I love moving more of the federal government out of Washington, D.C. I think the U.S. Forest Service should be headquartered in Rapid City, South Dakota, right next to the beautiful Black Hills National Forest. And I know that when you make those moves, you lose a lot of the D.C. folks who, listen, they didn't want to move to Colorado when they moved to part of the interior out there. But I think it gives you an opportunity to reimagine and reinvent that agency with people who are in, you know, who worked for BLM, right? And so who love Colorado because it's got such BLM land, or who really understand land management. And so I think BLM within Interior was able to do a lot of op hiring. Once they made the move, a part of the agency was able to make the move. And from a U.S.
Well, Congressman, I believe we lost your signal there just a little bit. Unfortunately, we are up against the clock here, and we do appreciate your thoughts. As always, South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson with us here today on AOA. Congressman, if you're still there, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. All right, I do believe we lost him there right at the end of the segment, unfortunately. We'll be back with more on AOA coming up right after this.
Cats are masters at using up their nine lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we got an update on trade and tariffs and the importance of having new markets and demand for corn with Nancy Martinez and Jolene Reeson from the NCGA.
What's really important to realize is it's all about demand. Corn growers need new markets to create that demand. And more demand ultimately puts positive pressure on prices so farmers can make a living. So we have to have these new markets to boost demand and ultimately allow our farmers to be able to, you know, financially put back into their local communities.
I mean, we do a good job feeding what we can to the livestock that's available. But you know what? As farmers, we're too good at what we do. And so we make extra, which is for the farm economy, which is great, because if you don't have it, you can't sell it. For the economic part of it, too much is burdensome. And so we need markets to move this product.
Learn more online at ncga.com. Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk.
Every 65. What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the rumors have been confirmed as we've seen reports over the last week or so that a potential major mega rail merger is in the works between Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. What would this do in terms of logistics? What could this mean for agriculture and transportation by and large? let's talk about this. Joining us for a conversation, he is the executive director for the Soy Transportation Coalition, Mike Steenhoek. Mike, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well, sir.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Jesse. Always a pleasure.
Well, we were chatting a little bit during the commercial break that we saw these rumors. You sent this news out to me and other broadcast folks here a little over a week ago, the Wall Street Journal reporting on this. And then we got confirmation on Thursday from both railroads that they're in advanced talks here. And as I understand it, this would be a merger between the number one and the number five or six Class one railroad in terms of revenue in the country. Is that correct?
Yeah. And so we have two Canadian based railroads that have significant trackage in the United States, the Canadian National, the Canadian Pacific, Kansas City. But then as far as the US based railroads, there are two that have major networks and footprints in the West, Union Pacific and BNSF, and two in the East, CSX and then Norfolk Southern. And what this would do is it would be a merger or an acquisition, whatever verb you want to use, between one of the major Western railroads, the Union Pacific, and one of the major Eastern railroads, the Norfolk Southern, essentially creating a coast-to-coast rail network. And so, yes, it's something that we've always kind of anticipated, that someone would make a first move toward this kind of the next frontier within the rail industry. And we were always speculating when that would occur, who would make the first move, and obviously that is indeed occurred, confirmed yesterday, as you mentioned, by both railroads, the Union Pacific and the Norfolk Southern. They are negotiating on how to proceed on this.
Now, a merger of this magnitude, I mean, I have to imagine that there is going to be a lot of logistical hurdles and federal regulations to jump through and things of that nature. But I'm also maybe a little bullish that this might happen with what we've seen so far out of this current administration and their affinity for mega deals, so to speak. So, I mean, as we look at this kind of from a 1,000-foot view, what's your thoughts on the odds of this actually going through and getting across the finish line, Mike?
Yeah, I think none of this, we should assume that none of this has happened by accident. I think in politics and the current, the political environment obviously shapes so many things, including this. I think it's safe to assume that the two particular railroads believe that the current political climate is more favorable to this than maybe other previous political climates. The fact that this is happening in the first year of the current administration, I would assume that they believe that there's a at least some degree of optimism that over the course of the next 3+ years, that maybe something like maybe the deal could come to fruition. Because these things take, even under the most ideal circumstances, it takes multiple years. You mentioned the Canadian Pacific Kansas City deal that took 2+ years. So this is something that's going to take a considerable period of time. So yeah, I think we can assume that the two railroads do believe that it's a more favorable climate for something like this to proceed.
So on the flip side of this though, Mike, what could this mean for agriculture in rural America? I mean, you see more consolidation in a key segment of the industry in terms of transportation on the rail side here. I mean, I've heard some of this chatter from folks. They're a little concerned that this could be a negative for the agriculture industry with less options and higher costs potentially.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we can remember what history teaches us is that mergers and acquisitions within the rail industry will inspire and motivate further mergers and acquisitions within the rail industry. I think.
Oh, and I believe we just unfortunately lost Mike there real quick. We'll try to get him reconnected. We're talking with Mike Steenhoek from the Soy Transportation Coalition with us here today on AOA and talking about this major merger in advanced talks, Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. And really, this could be a historic rail merger. It'd be the largest ever buyout in the sector. It could create the first modern west to east single line freight railroad in the United States, significantly affecting how goods from grains to chemicals to autos move across the country. And again, this is probably going to trigger a lot of regulatory hurdles and so much more. And it's going to be a it's going to be an interesting thing to see how this is all navigated as we work through the next several weeks and months and potentially years ahead, and whether or not this deal actually gets done. I think that's going to be the big key here, is can this deal get done? And hopefully we'll get Mike reconnected here for a few more thoughts. But, you know, something that came to my mind as well here, hearing about this and seeing this and, you know, mentioning the topic of consolidation in the rail industry. We've seen this with many, you know, major railroads here over the years. Obviously, it took a while before we saw another one with that CPKC merger. We've seen a lot of short line railroads get absorbed as well. I think about the railroad that goes through my hometown in North Central Iowa. The Canadian National just bought that line here earlier this year. That transaction went through, the Iowa Northern. And now you got the Canadian National operating two lines that basically run on the same trajectory through North Central Iowa to Minnesota. And they're only separated by a handful of miles. And it just, it begs the question of whether or not consolidation is a good thing for agricultural shippers, farmers, ranchers alike, if it's something that's going to be beneficial or not. So again, we're going to be watching this closely as we wait to see what happens with the merger talks here between the Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. And if this were to go through, that would leave a couple railroads that are still standing alone that are major class one railroads, the Burlington Northern Santa Fe, BNSF, and then CSX in the eastern part of the United States. Then, of course, you have the Canadian railroads, Canadian Pacific, Kansas City, and Canadian National. So this would be a major consolidation combining the Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. So it's going to be something we're going to have to watch closely, and not sure if we're going to get Mike back. We have some connection issues with him, so we do apologize for that. Again, Mike Steenhoek with the Soy Transportation Coalition. It looks like he just got popped back in here. Mike, good to have you back. I was just running through a few things here with this merger and some of those details, and we got about 2 minutes here. Kind of circling back to what I was asking you about, your thoughts on this consolidation and if it would be a good thing or not, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of concern voiced by a lot of agricultural customers about a potential for decreased service, higher rates. You know, again, we want transportation providers to be competing for our business. That's good for us. And so when you have a decreased number of options, that can have some negative consequences. But you also will hear some shippers that we'll talk about who have most of their assets, say, in the western part of the country, who will say, now we might have greater access to markets in the eastern part of the U.S. and vice versa. So you're going to hear both perspectives informing this, but you are going to hear a lot of skepticism and concern.
And I mentioned this, too, while we were getting you reconnected. You know, we've even seen consolidation at some of the short line railroads here recently, too. I think about, you know, just to the north of you there in Iowa, the Iowa Northern being absorbed by the Canadian National, for instance. So, you know, over the last several years, we've seen more of this consolidation in the rail industry, which is such a key segment for agriculture.
Yeah. And you know, you have to remember that any capital intensive industry has a strong tendency for mergers, acquisitions, consolidation. So that's not unique to railroads. It's often also applicable to agriculture. Yeah. But yes, that's something that we do continue to deal with in all aspects of our industry.
Well, Mike, we're going to be watching this closely, and it's real quick. It sounds like this potential UP Norfolk Southern merger, it's going to take some time. This isn't going to happen overnight, correct?
No, it's going to take at least several, 2 to 3 years at best. And so obviously these things are very, they're on the slow boat. So there's going to be a lot of attention on this. And so it's going to take a considerable period of time. This is going to be a debate that we're going to be following.
We are going to continue to follow it, and we'll have you back on to talk more about that when we have more news. Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director, Soy Transportation Coalition. Always good to talk with you, Mike. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Thanks, Jesse.
Coming up next, we'll talk with Dr. Ryan Loy from the University of Arkansas on AOA.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Mobile end users, snappy.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk markets were mostly higher. From the Dunn County Fair, and Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. August milk down 2 to 1724. September up 4 to 1753. October up 1 to 1809. And November was up 5 to 1825. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moved mostly higher on the day, as there was some cash markets that were a dollar higher, and that helped to support the markets, along with some of those beef export sales, which were also mostly higher, that helping to support the live and feeder cattle markets. Hog markets, meanwhile, they were mostly lower on the day, as the market seems skeptical to advance any higher as traders are facing resistance pressure in the market. August live cattle up 67 cents to 226.47. August feeder cattle up 247 to 331.37. And August hogs up 50 cents to 108.70. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat were all mostly lower after the markets, especially corn, were at nearby resistance levels. But there's really just weakness in all of the grains for the day, and there was really no fresh fundamental news to help move markets higher. New crop corn down 1 3/4 to 419. New crop beans down 3 1/4 to 1021. September wheat down 3 1/4 to 538 1/4.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Experience the magic of the Wabasha County Fair, July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Enjoy the IMP Motocross, July 30th at 7 p.m. and August 2nd at 5 p.m. Bull riding with Great Frontier is August 1st at 7 p.m. with music by the Chubbs following. Kids games and inflatables, great food, and big races too. It's a week of food, fun, and fantastic entertainment during the Wabasha County Fair, July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha.
Farmers and ranchers need AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. As we continue today, there's a lot of talk, a lot of concern about the economic health right now in farm country. And new research from the University of Arkansas is kind of emphasizing how tough things are right now with the amount of farm bankruptcies we've seen through the first 3 months of 2025. Joining us to tell us more about this, Dr. Ryan Loy, Extension Economist for the University of Arkansas. Ryan, great to have you join us here on the show today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I know it's not a fun topic for us to talk about, but it is an important one for us to put this in perspective. And I know a lot of farmers and ranchers, they know how tough this is right now across farm country. But your new research points to the amount of farm bankruptcies filed in the first 3 months of this year exceeds the entire calendar year of last year. Is that correct?
If I may make a clarification on that, so how I was comparing it and, you know, the issues on the communicator, one of the things I meant to emphasize was that the first quarter of this year has outpaced the first quarter of last year. So my apologies about the confusion. However, but the important part of that is that if we're comparing the two quarters of last year, which in row crop production is arguably the most important time to look at these bankruptcy numbers, we're double the amount we were last year in terms of national numbers. And that is big enough for me to kind of, you know, I was putting these numbers together to do a newsletter in terms of trying to point at some things where the farm economy is heading. And that really stuck out to me in terms of the trajectory it seems that we're on, kind of a repeat pattern of building up to the 2018, COVID era timeframe.
Well, I appreciate that clarification. And it's interesting to see this cycle coming back through. You mentioned we're kind of building up to that pre-COVID time frame, kind of a similar cycle. As you really dug into this data and had conversations maybe with folks, what are some of the key things you're hearing here, Ryan?
Well, one of the things is that, you know, in Chapter 12, and that's the numbers I'm talking about, you know, it's specifically for farms, and it's really meant to continue farming, right, to get out of this this debt situation and continue to farm. And so that's the idea behind it. And one of the things that we're just hearing is that, you know, some folks have gotten these longer term loans under different commodity price and input price situations. And the last few years just haven't penciled enough to be able to really, you know, make it. And so I think what we're seeing is a lot of farmers burn through some of their liquid cash, not by choice, but by necessity. And a lot of those, you know, hang on to next year, it's going to get better. Hang on to next year, it's going to get better. And I think that we've just seen year after year that it just hasn't been the case as of late. And so I think we're starting to see the reemergence of farmers trying to say, okay, we really need to take a different step here, reorganize what we're doing to get back on track.
Well, and I know, I mean, we're, you know, looking at this from a national perspective, but I know you looked at a lot of data for the state of Arkansas especially. And you know, Ryan, I've heard a lot of the stories from producers in the South, especially, you know, with the struggles with cotton and rice production and more, not just corn, soybeans, et cetera. Talk about the numbers you found just for the state of Arkansas alone.
Well, for the state of Arkansas, for the calendar year for the 12 months period leading up to the quarter of last year, Arkansas held 15. Now, the last time, 15 Chapter 12s across the Arkansas Delta. Now, the last time that we'd reached that number was in 2019, and we were at 14. So from that perspective, and when you look at the trends from 2015 to 2025, just the last 10 years, it really shows up, and it's kind of a red, you know, sore thumb in terms of the numbers that we've seen kind of spike back up. You know, 2024, we had 10, so we were up on that trajectory. Comparing that to 2023, when we had only 3 in the state, when you think about kind of, okay, they had pandemic assistance, a little bit better prices, they can make it to 23, but now we've just seen at least the last 2 years, and especially with Mississippi River water level changes and just everything that the southern farmers, specifically Arkansas farmers, deal with in terms of, you know, irrigation and cost for inputs, labor expenses, and at the end of the day, just volatile weather that's really caused a lot of this. And we're very export market heavy in Arkansas especially. And when there's uncertainty added to that export market, you know, prices are going to react negatively.
We're having a conversation with Dr. Ryan Loy, extension economist for the University of Arkansas. And you mentioned exports and trade and more. And I think that could be a point for us to lean in on a little bit here as well. When you think about all of this data you've been looking at and the overall health of the ag economy, you know, we're starting to see more of these trade deal frameworks and things of that nature, but still, as you mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty out there in farm country when it comes to trade, demand, and more. And, you know, one has to wonder, could this situation with the ag economy get worse before it gets better, I guess, is kind of where my mind is wondering if that might be the case, Ryan.
It could definitely be the case, and, you know, we won't know that for sure until around harvest time. You know, don't get me wrong. We're looking at things, and there's a lot of, you know, alerts that are kind of pointing us to that and indications that it could be better before or worse before it gets better. But, you know, we really can make a definitive, you know, answer around harvest time to see where is our exports going to head. Do we have a similar market share with China that we had last year? Did we lose some and they went to Brazil in terms of the trade wars that the trade war that we're currently in with them? And so, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, it's difficult to say really if it's going to get worse or better because, you know, we, as we all know, we can wake up tomorrow and everybody could be just on a free trade agreement. Everything's changing so rapidly right now. It's very difficult to say, which is another one of the reasons of why this financial stress is being added. The markets don't like uncertainty, you know, and when those react, the prices will definitely react on both the import side in terms of buying the inputs and fertilizer that we have to import. That will become more expensive in the export side. If we lose that market share to Brazil or to South America, to other countries, you know, we're going to have abundance of supply, which will depress our prices a little bit more. So, you know, I know that in the One Big Beautiful Bill, there was some, you know, there's some farmer support and increases coming through, but have to make it to 2026 to really see that through. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Very true. Very true. What would you remind producers as you look at this data and, you know, putting on your extension economist hat here a little bit? I mean, I know it's a tough situation, but a lot of times I tell folks this, and I hear this from many bankers and more, that you just have to take a sharpen your pencil, so to speak, and really look at your bottom line and look at your operations, financial health. I mean, would you echo that sentiment? What are some things that producers should do to try and weather the storm right now?
Well, I would certainly echo that. I think that's the most important thing, especially in my position as the, you know, the ag finance extension economist. That's one of the things I always say, in that, you know, if you don't have a budget that's, you know, essentially written in blood or it's extremely accurate, it's very difficult to know where you're going to end up, right? If you can account for a lot of the uncertainties that may happen, or you do, you know, kind of a sensitivity analysis, very similar to what a lot of creditors do, and look at the best, you know, the most obvious scenario, the worst scenario, and the best scenario, and see how that pencils out for you, you know, those sorts of things are extremely helpful. Knowing a budget and sticking to it is extremely important, especially in times like these. You know, capital purchases, you know, if you cannot make those right now, that's a good place to start.
Ryan, other final thoughts you'd share with us here on this data and more? Anything you would reiterate to producers? Got about 2 minutes here, a little less than that. Anything final you would share with us here today on the show?
You know, one of the things I've kind of tried to reemphasize is that, you know, a lot of what we're pointing to and talking about, you know, all of it is it's really out of the farmer's control. And it's not the farmer's fault that they're facing the prices that they have and on both the import and the export side. And so from that perspective, you know, the farmer's doing everything right. They're marketing, they're making sure their budgets are there, but sometimes it really just doesn't pencil. And that's one of the situations we're stuck in. So from, you know, a producer's perspective, I would say to just do everything you can to market and budget. And that's about, at the end of the day, one of the biggest things you can do.
Well, I know we got a link up to the study that you helped put together here, and we'll make sure that's shared on our socials and at agricultureofamerica.com. And we'll be tracking this, and maybe once we get towards harvest time and we have a few more concrete answers, we'll have to get you back on the show for another conversation. But we do appreciate it. Dr. Ryan Loy, Extension Economist for the University of Arkansas. Ryan, good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Dr. Ryan Loy with us, Extension Economist for the University of Arkansas. Again, I know it's not a fun topic to talk about by any stretch of the imagination. And seeing, you know, these farm bankruptcies and more happen, it's not a great thing. But it's something that, to Ryan's point, try to sharpen that pencil a little bit and do the best you can to manage your operation and try to weather this financial storm that we're seeing. And hopefully things can get better as we move forward. But again, farm bankruptcy filings rising in 2025 compared to the first quarter of 2024. Coming up next here on AOA, another story that we've talked about over the last several years, the Obama-era proposal that would have created a national speed limit for 18-wheelers. Well, the Trump administration has hit the brakes on that proposal. We're going to get an update on things and talk about it with Louis Pugh. He is the executive vice president for OIDA, the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. We'll hear that conversation coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Here's comedians and Skechers getting comfortable, presented by hands-free Skechers slip-ins.
Hey, I'm Bobby Slayton, and I'm here with my pal, comedian, and Skechers ambassador, Mr. Howie Mandel.
Why did it take so long to invent something as amazing as slip-ins? I know it seems simple, but it took Skechers to invent a better pair of shoes.
Yep, with Skechers slip-ins, you just step it and go. You don't have to touch your shoes. And by the way, slip-ins are for the whole family, men, women, and kids, in all your favorite Skechers styles. Find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-616-9695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-616-9695. That's 800-616-9695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
While using their typewriters... Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TCA3. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
On board. The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board.
Welcome back as we close out today's AOA. The Trump administration is halting an Obama-era proposal that would have created a national speed limit for 18-wheelers. It would have put the limit at 65 miles an hour, and this has been in the works since 2016. But again, regulators under the Trump administration are saying no more. Here to tell us about this and have a conversation, he's the executive vice president for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, OIDA, Louis Pugh. Louis, welcome back to AOA. It is, it's been too long. It's good to hear from you again. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, and I appreciate you having me, and thank you to all the truckers and farmers out there listening. We appreciate what you do.
I know this has been a major issue for OIDA since this plan was put into motion almost a decade ago. Give us your thoughts and perspective on seeing this speed limiter rule thrown out by the Trump administration.
Yeah, well, first, start right off, thank you to the Trump administration and also DOT and Secretary Duffy for finally listening to truckers. You're right, we've been doing this for over a decade. Truckers have been telling DOT and people on Capitol Hill and the president of now and of past, this is a terrible idea. This will hamper safety. This will make highways much less safe, cause more congestion, cause less pay to truckers, and just everything in between. And, you know, filed lots of comments when this has been, but, you know, finally, since the Trump administration has taken over Secretary Duffy, they listened to what truckers were taking. They're realizing, I think, finally, that, you know, and I shouldn't say them finally, but just finally Washington's realizing truckers understand highway safety better than anyone because that's where they work and live. And these just throwing rules out there because it makes us feel good or because somebody says better, it doesn't mean that it is. There's lots of ways we can fix highway safety, but a speed differential between cars and trucks as high as 20 to 25 mile per hour, that isn't the way we do it.
No. Well, and that's something you and I have talked about before, that just the safety aspect of this alone. I mean, it was a bit mind-boggling to me because, you know, I see it when I travel on our interstate highways and our two-lane highways, et cetera. And to your point, a lot of truckers, you guys know highway safety the best out of anyone. I mean, you're navigating these big rigs all day, every day, and seeing a speed limit differential would just create a lot of headaches, Louie. On top of also, it would slow down logistics for farmers, ranchers, rural America, consumers, etc.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the western states, you're correct. I drove truck for 25 years. I'm in a trucking business, 2.5 million miles of safe driving. This is the last thing we needed was speed differential. And you, like you said, the farmers, the ranchers, the folks in the western state who really, really, you know, need trucks and need their goods moved and in a timely manner during planting seasons and harvest seasons, and they need that fertilizer to seed or the cattle to market. And, you know, we all know the longer the cows are on the truck, the more weight they lose. We have all these things we got to consider. And you're right. You're going to, if you slow them down, a 10-mile-per-hour speed difference between a car and truck causes over 200% more interactions between the car and the truck. And that's where we have accidents, is when we have interactions, the more we're around each other. Nobody wants that. You know, we're all safer when everybody's going the same speed and everybody flows the same speed. And when you start slowing trucks down that much, it's going to take them that much longer to get somewhere, which means we're going to need more trucks on the highway to do the same amount of work, which, of course, is going to increase congestion on the highways. Which, what does that do? That causes more chances for interactions and more chances for accidents to happen. Not only more, and not only that, but more destruction of our already fragile infrastructure, our roads and bridges and stuff. We don't need to be putting more trucks and stuff on the highway.
Louie Pugh with OIDA joining us here today. And again, this speed limiter rule thrown out by the Trump administration. So moving forward, Louie, what are some other issues? We know there's always things out there that we have to pay attention to with rules and regulations and more. What are some other things now that OIDA is going to be focusing on now that the speed limiter rule has been thrown out?
Well, we're getting in the middle of starting highway appropriations. A big highway bill every 5-6 years gets done. We're working on that, laying out some groundwork, hoping to see some parking stuff in there, hoping maybe some broker transparency, some of this stuff to fight back against freight fraud. Of course, OIDA, of course, is pushing, you know, flexibility in hours of service. I know that's sort of a big thing in the ag world. Some things to address some of the safety technology or so-called safety technologies out there. You know, there's just a lot of stuff. FMCSA and DOT did announce too some other initiatives, which I think some of this will be welcome. Also in the ag, they're looking at doing a pilot program for more flexibility in hours of service, both split sleeper berth, and also looking to where a driver could extend that 14-hour clock 3 hours to take a rest, to get something to eat, wait on traffic to die, whatever he feels fit. So that would be helpful. And also, I know a lot of farmers and stuff run older equipment, and just like a lot of my members do, they're owner-operators. And the good thing is that the Trump administration is going to leave the exemption for older equipment and the electronic logging device. They're going to leave that in place. There was some talk during the Biden administration that they were going to do away with that exemption, but the Trump administration Secretary Duffy said that they would leave that in place.
Well, Louie, I know if folks want to learn more about OIDA, the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, and some of the different topics you guys are working on and more, you guys have a lot of resources at fightingfortruckers.com. Am I right?
Yeah, fightingfortruckers.com is where you can see our advocacy stuff, or you can come to OIDA.com. You're always welcome to feel free. And, you know, I can't say enough. I got a small farm too, so I grew up on a farm. There's a lot of crossover in agriculture and trucking, and lots of trucking, you know, of course, in agriculture. 70% of all goods are moved by truck. So a lot of times farmers, I urge, if you're not sure about a rule or regulation, feel free to call into OIDA, join OIDA. If you said you saw this show or listen to the show, you get a discount, but we can help you to make sure you're compliant, because a lot of times we find out truckers aren't, or farmers that have trucks sometimes aren't as compliant as what they want to be or need to be. And so thank you.
You bet. Louis Pugh, Executive Vice President for OIDA, the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Louis, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Thanks for having me again. Thank you to the American farmer, and thank you to the American trucker.
We're out of time on AOA. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Big year. I'm starting middle school.
Welcome to the jungle, Missy.
Best part? My parents promised me a new laptop.
Perfect for homework, essays, and drudgery.
So we went to Staples. They had all the latest tech, and laptops were up to 40% off.
Woo! Another back-to-school budget saved by Staples Easy Button.
Mom high-fived the cashier. So embarrassing.
Staples.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. Ends 8/23. Select models only.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay, and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump in Scotland for trade talks and business related to his golf resorts. The president says he blames Hamas for the latest stall to the Gaza ceasefire talks. Israel also blaming Hamas for stealing critical aid and food. Today, the USAID agency says it's found no evidence that